Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Kyle Dunnigan hangs out and jumps in with the news and is, as usual, just incredible. God, that guy makes me laugh. I'm such a fan of his. So we'll do the news in a second, and then good sports coming as well. First, LifeLock, child's information, particularly the Social Security number, has more value to scammers, of course. It's a clean slate for opening new credit lines. Kids don't have credit reports, so the thief can use their info and open new accounts and run up debts before someone even catches on. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Don't let them do it. There's a LifeLock identity theft protection. They add the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you'll have LifeLock. We're coming right in on 2020. You're online all day, every day, buying everything. Your information's everywhere. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Act now, and for a limited time, get 30% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or visit LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam to save 30%. Offer expires October 6th. Don't wait. Join now at LifeLock.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the U.S. Coast Guard said Tuesday that it had seized a 40-foot semi-submersible. They're not calling it a submarine. A semi-submersible in the eastern Pacific Ocean that was carrying 12,000 pounds of cocaine. That is worth more than $165 million. That was just earlier this month. The crew of the Florida-based cutter Valiant was directed to intercept the narco sub after it was detected and monitored by a patrol aircraft. And you see they're boarding it now. Two small boats with boarding teams were launched from the Valiant to take down the sub in the early morning with assistance from the Colombian naval assets. Four suspected drug smugglers also apprehended. The exact location of where the boat was intercepted has not been revealed, but it did have 12,000 pounds of cocaine on it.
It's wow. Weird that you have a nation. Here's how powerful drugs and money are. You have a nation that has a navy that probably doesn't possess a sub.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only subs your nation has are filled with fentanyl and cocaine. Mm-hmm. A bad sign for a nation, by the way. Like, how many legitimate subs versus fake subs versus backyard subs?
Right.
We have 58 regular subs and zero backyard subs. You guys have 122 backyard subs and no real subs.
Right.
Indictment.
It's like one of those things, like, as a nation, if you just, like, I always say, like, when you drive through L.A. and you see the barbed wire around the freeway signs, like, bad sign for a city. Like, when you drive around this country of ours and you're buzzing through Austin or you're buzzing through Nashville, Tennessee, you don't see barbed wire everywhere. You drive through L.A., there's barbed wire everywhere, and it's a bad sign. And I'm saying having more bootleg subs than legitimate subs, not a good sign as a nation. Where they come from?
I like that we caught it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They were assisted by the Colombians. Is that shocking to you?
Take out the competition.
Let's see if they have any real subs. And by the way, I'm not counting subs we got tired of and gave you. You got to make your own sub.
Yeah, and they said it's a semi-submersible, so God knows what it was. Like, what, a pontoon bottom or something?
The whole thing...
I think it, like, skims along the surface.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Last time.
They try to create as low a profile as they can for radar use, but they're not good enough technologically to physically just go underwater.
Right.
They need air to run the diesel engine and blah, blah, blah. So they have the main body of the thing sort of underwater, sort of like an iceberg, and then the little bit at the top to kind of lower their profile.
Okay.
That's right. Well,
sorry.
Very good news for the bagel boss because, you know, Lenny Dykstra pulled out of the fight at the last minute. Mm-hmm. They have found a replacement. It will be Dustin Diamond. That's going to be the celebrity boxing match in Atlantic City, New Jersey, according to TMZ. So Dykstra pulled out of the event because he had to focus on a lawsuit.
We have a weird relationship with celebrities. Like, we have, they put them up on a pedestal, like, their shit doesn't stink. We can't stop loving them. And then at some point when they're washed up, we're like, here's $10. Dance, bitch.
Put them in
dance,
the octagon.
We know you have no discernible skills. Mm-hmm. And when we've decided there's no market for the only skill you have, which is acting, although we don't care anymore, that's an interesting thing because these guys can't fall back on gem cutting or mechanical engineering or something.
No.
All they can do is a sort of porn version of what they did do, which is, we'll give you $1,800. Get in that ring with Joey Buttafuoco, man.
Kind of wheezing the last bit.
It's also kind of a weird, sad testimonial to, like, who we are as a society.
Yeah.
Like, let's watch those guys beat each other's brains out. We can do it for $2,000. They'll do it. They're desperate.
Well, he's a vet because he beat up Welcome Back Cotter's Ron Palillo in 2002.
But that's like beating up a cat. Did you see that fight?
Didn't.
No, but Ron is like, hello.
Mr. Cotter.
Meanwhile, Chris Morgan, Bagel Boss, is 5 feet tall. Dustin, 6 feet tall. Chris has been training, though, with some UFC stars. We don't know if Dustin's been training, so...
It's a lose-lose for Dustin, though. I mean, just beating up somebody foot and a half shorter than you.
Yeah.
It's also, it's weird, too, when we try to do that sort of graph thing. Like, he's been training with some UFC champions. Yeah, it doesn't mean he knows shit.
He's not one.
Yeah, like, oh, all right, so... Get Yo-Yo Ma to come in here, and I'll grab my cello and sit next to him. Like, I'm still going to sound like shit. Right?
Yeah.
You're better off going wild than learning a little bit of karate or jiu-jitsu. Because you're going to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
You're better off just flailing your arms.
Yeah, just swing.
Yeah, just have a shot of brandy and get to it.
Sony Pictures Television will shop the story of Jeffrey Epstein's human trafficking crimes as a limited series. That's after optioning Conchita Sarnoff's book called Traffic King. Traffic King explores, quote, the darkest recesses of the corridors of power from Harvard to the White House. So the Epstein case continues to intrigue journalists, particularly because of the ties with Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton and Donald Trump.
Trump, you took a few flights on the plane, right?
To the island.
That guy got railroaded.
Oh, who? Epstein.
Innocent.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a conspiracy thing?
Yeah, the plane was totally legit. Just people having adults having a good time.
That's it. And he did he kill himself or was he killed? Was he murdered?
He was killed by the Clintons.
Oh, the Clintons.
Oh, wow.
Quite an allegation, Mr. President.
Well, it's true. Oh,
in his prison cell.
Yes.
That's why those cameras weren't working.
That's right.
So you think he was going to start singing like a canary?
That's right. Bill had a lot to lose.
Oh, I see.
His reputation as a perv was going to get even worse.
Wow. But nothing on you.
Yeah? No. It's fine.
Columbia has 4 subs. Where'd they get those subs? There are subs. Somebody sold them those subs.
Argentina.
Yeah, sloppy second subs. But still, more backyard subs than actual subs.
That's probably true.
There's got to be hundreds of those things buzzing around now.
Floating out there. So Sarnoff is a human rights activist and correspondent for the Daily Beast who reported on the Epstein case back in 2010 when he was first arrested in Palm Beach, Florida. But got a sweetheart deal on that one.
Where is, what's his name?
I think he was able to go to the office during the day and go back to jail at night, things like that.
What's her name's son who broke all the stories about?
Oh,
Farrow.
Yeah, where's Rome? Where? I feel like this is his time.
He's working on something, I'm sure.
He is working on something. Who? Oh, my God. KFI was just talking about this.
He's got to be working doing on something, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at that player. But yes, he is, in fact, working on something now. Great news for movie buffs. Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and Jeff Goldblum will reprise their roles and join. And we're going to have an exclusive in a moment with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard in the upcoming Jurassic World 3.
Fuck.
The film's director.
Gina, how dare you start off with saying this great news for movie buffs?
Colin Trevorrow, the director, revealed the news at a screening of Jurassic World in Hollywood. And the film's Instagram also celebrated the trio's return, posting a photo of the actors saying, "They're back. Welcome to the Jurassic World, Alan Grant, Ellie Sattler, and Ian Malcolm." This is a reboot, Brian.
Happy about this, Jeff?
Goldblum, very happy about walking around with my dinosaur friends. Laura Dern, beautiful Laura Dern. We had a little affair on the set.
Oh, you did?
I laid her down under the dinosaur friends and made love.
I did not know that.
Real quick, change your apartment, change the world. Quick plug.
Your current wife, 30 years younger than you. Good on you. And you're playing your jazz music. I know.
Yes.
You love playing jazz.
On every best dress list. Everyone calls you a zaddy.
Nice ties. Different colors. And the jazz turns the ladies on. People call me creepy. But
you're into the jazz scene, Mr. Goldberg. You into the comedy scene at all?
Yes.
You hear about his meltdown in the main room?
Real quick, I also heard that Donegan had another show at the Improv. Standing ovation.
Yeah, but everyone's still talking about the disaster at the comedy store.
Story starts with a failure. Greatest teacher, a failure.
But Mr. Goldman... Respectfully, what you're saying is I'm saying, did you hear about the American Airlines flight that hit the Twin Towers? And you're like, yes, but they landed another plane safely later that day. You know what I mean? That's the Donegan equivalent.
No one died at his show. There were a few.
A lot of people were threatening suicide.
Some people walked out. half the crowd did leave. But his show that he will be doing at Brian's show is at November 2nd. Will be... a triumphant return of Kyle Donegan.
Looking forward to the comeback. All right. Farrow's working on a upcoming tell-all book called Catch and Kill.
Yes.
Features a group of Matt Lauer accusers.
Oh, boy.
Matt Lauer's like, Jesus Christ, I just want to go to fucking Martha's Vineyard and catch a break and just relax over here now. Here's the other thing, too, about like the Matt Lauers of the world. Shame on us. Who gives a shit about Matt Lauer? Yeah. You know who I blame? I blame all you chicks. Because you chicks are like, oh, look, he's nice looking. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's pleasant.
He's approachable.
He looks good. I believe that guy.
He's the guy next
door. Trust that guy. He's a good guy. Look at him. He looks good in a suit. This notion of, like, he's aesthetically pleasing, he thus must be a really great guy versus that guy who's evil. I don't know. I don't think it works that way.
You'd be fighting the bagel guy if he was ugly.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Catch and Kill, I think, is a reference to like catching the story and killing it, you know, like sweeping it under the rug. Right. So, yeah, that's right. That's what he's doing next. Well, speaking of killing, it could be the ultimate twist ending for Making a Murderer. Of course, the documentary that was just everywhere a few years ago. A Wisconsin man who's already in prison for a separate slaying reportedly confessed to killing the photographer Teresa Halbach in 2005. She was the subject of the controversial Netflix documentary.
She was like the auto trader photographer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The admission could pave the way for convicted killer Stephen Avery's exoneration. The director of the upcoming true crime series called Convicting a Murderer, that's unaffiliated apparently with the Netflix show, told
Newsweek, would be the worst auto trader photographer in the world.
Because, why?
Every single...
I feel like he'd be good at it.
No, I'll tell you why. Because it'd be like, where you at? I'm out on old Colonel Road. Ooh. That's a haul. Yeah. Well, I got a truck. It's a Chevy Love, 1982, extended cab. Do you have a phone? Yeah. Does it have a camera in it? Yeah. You're asking $4,200 for this piece of shit. Yeah. Why don't you just pull out in the driveway and sort of take a three-quarter shot and just go ahead and email that to me, and I'll save myself a road trip on there. It's a truck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feel like you're qualified.
Hey, this is your
truck.
Job.
Yeah, who knows your truck better than you? Take a picture of it and send it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was 2005, but I think we had cameras.
I don't think that's a job anymore.
Yeah.
I think everybody on Bring a Trailer and all these eBay and all, I think you just take your picture
that makes
and put
sense.
It up there. Yeah.
Speaking of murder, murdered Laura Dern's pussy on the set of
what?
The sorry. Whoa. That's true.
Yes.
Not see that coming.
Yes.
Your wife would be upset if she had been born at the time.
Right.
Did that.
Yes. Just a child. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they are still looking into the legitimacy of this confession. Meanwhile, 57-year-old Stephen Avery is serving a life sentence without parole for that murder.
Do we have, you know, we kind of have that thing where it's like, if not this, then something else. Is that like one of those guys? Do we
yes
have that?
No.
Like, we don't?
Yes and no. I don't know if you watch the series. It was a mother's nightmare.
Hmm.
The nephew, I think he's out. He was sort of a little mentally disabled, and I think he was in prison for 10 years. And they're, I mean, the whole family lives on this sort of trailer compound, and they're rowdy, and they're nutty,
ooh,
and they're not.
You know what a father's nightmare is?
What? Mm.
Watching the mom watching that fucking special instead of cooking me some goddamn dinner.
Yeah.
That's a father's nightmare.
Yeah.
Mad no cookie dinner, boss.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Hey, new Matt.
Matt,
Matt.
Cookie dinner.
I mean, new Matt.
Yeah, you got a boss.
Yeah. You just pop up from under the house.
Hey.
Head comes out of the toilet. Hi, guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Want a steak? Some
best
broccoli?
Way to clean a toilet from the inside out.
That's right, boss.
Most thorough way.
Yeah.
Clean pipes.
All right, let me hit Noom over here. Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about learning a healthier life and a healthier habits. That's what you need. Noom, a habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses based on cognitive behavioral psychology. Noom teaches you the way to do it. It figures out what you do and how you do it. And it figures out your habits, your bad habits, and then you replace them with good habits. And it's more of a lifestyle than it is a diet. Yes, Gina Grant?
Yeah, it's so much more because everything else is just, well, just watch what you eat. Just stop screwing around. This actually gets into the psychology of it. It's very supportive. It's a lot of behavioral stuff. And I'm really enjoying getting to know it.
And a healthy, easy to stick to sort of way of life versus a diet that you're constantly trying to discipline yourself to hold to. No food is good or bad or off limits. It just teaches you moderation. So just commit 10 minutes a day for yourself and a healthier lifestyle. Right, Dawson?
You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/Adam. Visit Noom.com/Adam to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/Adam, the last weight loss program you'll ever need.
Well, Mattel has come a long way since it introduced the Barbie doll in 1959, because on Wednesday, the toy company launched a line of gender-neutral dolls called Creatable World.
Come on.
The joke must have been made 1,000 times, right. But the Barbie dolls weren't gender-neutral.
Right.
That's a good
no
point.
Junk.
Where kids are, they're invited to customize their doll, so and it isn't dictated by any gender norms. We're looking at a picture here.
Dictated.
The toy kit comes with short hair, long hair, different clothing, different shoes, different accessories that are both female-presenting and male-presenting. And meanwhile, the dolls don't have curves like Barbie or broad shoulders like Ken.
Ugh. Enough of this.
Why is the goal nothing? Yeah. Why is the goal just everything's just blah? Everything's just the same. We don't have any aesthetic, anything. There's no goals. There's no aesthetic beauty. There's no any. It's like this notion of like, just tear down every scoreboard. No one will ever lose. It's like, okay, but is that really what we want?
Well, from a business standpoint, this is a little confusing because if you're trying to open this up to all genders, boys aren't going to buy this.
Like, who's getting this?
Yeah, this is not for boys. Maybe girls will, some will want them, but I had every Barbie that existed when I was little. I loved Barbies. I loved the fantasy of the ball gowns and all of the beautiful, you know, accessories. And I don't know if this would have been as interesting to me.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Trump, G.I. Joe Biden, what do you think? Would you buy that doll?
G.I. Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Maybe they rip its head off.
Yeah.
Melt
take
it.
Its arms off.
Put an M80 up its ass.
Yeah, watch it blow up. What's up with the Ukraine? What's that problem with? Who cares?
I don't know.
Everyone's got a problem. I'll tell you, Ukraine's good for their porn. You ever see a Ukrainian porn?
That's best. No, yeah.
What do you like about it?
I like the casting. They'll bring a lady in, say she's getting some casting job. They'll be like, let's see her boobs.
Yeah.
Those are hot.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what's a very... a very potent combination, like a recipe for porn. Mm. You don't find it that often. Super poor and white. From that kitchen comes the best loaves of porn. That's am I right, Donald?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And when they start crying, that's when I finish.
That's when you finish.
That's my favorite
part.
You
mean you stop watching?
No. Climax. Tears. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The tears. There's no smile porn. You notice that, Adam? There's no smile porn.
No.
No one wants to see people happy.
No, it's true.
Get them crying.
That's true. Yeah. They do a lot of audition porn. You know?
Right.
Okay.
Chicks coming in to audition.
Yeah. They don't know they're being filmed. Do they know they're being filmed?
They think they're doing a local used car dealer spot or something. There's a lot of pick them up in the cab porn.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Bang bros.
You know that's like when you hail a cab and the next thing you know, someone's like, I'll give you $80 if I can film you blowing this guy from Tampa.
Yeah.
And
it's my lucky day.
80, make it 100. And then you do it.
All the time.
Yeah, well, that's what it's like.
The best is when they don't want to do it. That's the best part. Yeah, no, they're reluctant, but they need the cash.
Yeah,
that's
they need the cash. That's and
that's Trump's
Ukraine.
Favorite.
They got a lot of Ukraine. Good-looking blonde chicks who need the cash.
They need so much cash.
So instead in the Ukraine, instead of going, they go, duh.
That's right.
The art of deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, rolling right into Disney, the plant-based food craze that swept up restaurants like Burger King and White Castle and Del Taco, they are coming to Disney. The company announced Tuesday that it is massively expanding its selection of plant-based food items at its parks starting in October. So they're going to start in Orlando with more than 400 food items that are meat-free, dairy-free, egg-free, and honey-free. Disneyland Resort in California will launch next spring. The company said customers had long been clamoring for Disney to offer more plant-based foods in its parks and hotels. Although Disney is adding a number of salads to its menu, it will also be selling plant-based hot dogs, burgers, and sausages. And all plant-based items will be marked on the menu with a little leaf icon.
Adam, should we just cut our balls off?
Yeah. I'm just going to get this wrist rocket and fire it into the neighbor's yard so I don't get drunk and look for it later. I just want it out of sight. I was going to put it in a mason jar on the top shelf of my bar, but I realized I'd just get drunk and try to reattach them. So I'm going to cut my nuts off, put it in a wrist rocket, and just fire it toward Mecca. That's my whole thing. Why don't we just start a new amusement park called Wuss World?
Mm.
Like no roller coaster over 9 feet tall. Everything is plant-based. Yeah. No
dinosaurs with no balls.
No hips, no balls, no bosom. No everything. Everyone's called they.
Yeah,
and that'll be that.
No genders.
No
beautiful.
Genders. Yeah.
Do you know why honey's included on this list of things that are
Because we enslave bees.
You got it.
It's not a caloric thing. It's us enslaving bees.
Yep.
They enslave themselves. They get that honeycomb and they little.
They're kind of asking
not
for
us.
It.
They have a queen.
It's for them.
Yeah, but like ask any bear. You know what I mean? You can't just dangle that in front of a bear and not expect them to go for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we enslave them.
Yeah. Donald, it's kind of like when a chick wears a really short skirt, right?
Yeah. That's like the bees. Wait, why is that bees?
Because they're kind of asking for it.
Oh, yeah.
The honeypot, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing their too much skin.
That's right. That's right. Not the fault of the bear.
Right.
You
it's just
I mean?
His instincts.
Instincts kicking
And it's
in.
My instincts to look under that dress.
Grab it.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make an analogy, but you know what I'm saying. All right, what do we got, Gina?
Well, an Australian man who created the world's first Labradoodle says he regrets it, claiming in a recent interview that majority are either crazy or have bad hereditary problems. So Wally Conran bred it. This is very interesting. The cross between the poodle and the Labrador Retriever in 1989 for a blind woman who couldn't have a guide dog because her husband was allergic to the dog hair. So fast forward 3 decades.
By the way, how's that conversation work? Like, hey, I need a dog and I need it pronto. Give me 7 years. Well, I have cancer. Give me 4 years. Let me see if I can suck some semen out of my pet.
You got 5 years, I got four.
That's right.
So the Labradoodle's become one of the most popular mixed breeds in the world, and he does not like this.
Is it because people like saying she's a Labradoodle?
They're I think it's maybe a percentage out. They're good dogs.
They're dumb and they're cute.
But it's just, it's why Minnie Driver worked, because people like saying her name.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if her name was like Gertrude O'Malley, like, when people go, I'm working with Gert. You know who signed on to our movie? Gertrude O'Malley. Huh? Okay.
Nobody else.
They like saying Minnie Driver.
He dropped out.
Right. And they like saying Labradoodle, and that's why there's more.
And Golden Doodle.
They like Doodle. Yeah.
Yeah. So he complains that he opened a Pandora's box and released a Frankenstein's monster. Conran said he fears people are overbreeding them, thus making them even crazier and more full of hereditary problems.
This guy is not a hero, but I'll tell you who is a hero. The guy founded Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that guy created the boysenberry.
That's right.
I think he took a blueberry and a raspberry.
Is that right?
Not a blueberry.
Blackberry?
He took a blackberry, and he created an even better berry. I'd like to get him together with Carl Nectarine just to lavish my praise on them. Like, you don't know. Like, you thought we stopped at peach. You kicked it up to a new level with
the
your pluot. Nectarine.
Yeah, the plum apricot.
The people. So,
hey, guys, I'm Joey Reese's. What are you guys talking about?
We would have stumbled onto you. Look, here's my point. No more experimenting with dogs, but the fruit. Scientists, you keep going.
Go forth.
Right.
You remember when the Japanese scientists made the seedless square watermelon?
Yes.
I mean, why not?
Raspberry, blackberry, dewberry, and loganberry.
Dewberry.
All come together to create the boysenberry.
Beautiful.
Hey, man, and don't sleep on that boysenberry pie. I think a lot of people go, blueberry or apple. Try that boy. Goldblum. I don't feel like I'm selling it correctly, but a warm piece of boysenberry pie with some vanilla, some French vanilla ice cream a la mode on top as it drips down and the white hits the purple.
Yes.
See, now.
Very sexy.
Now
very
people sexy. Want it.
It's
now they want some.
It's
very good.
A little, right
gold, a little gold bloom on top.
Yeah.
A little gold bloom DNA on top. Yes.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, a British...
Why does Knott's... Whenever they do this, sorry, like Knott's Scary Farm every year during Halloween...
Oh, we hadn't heard about it.
It says it's not scary.
Like, yeah, it's not. Don't worry, it's not scary.
Okay, moving on.
No, we did not talk about that.
Okay. We were talking about how vile the commercials and how scary the commercials are. But yeah, Knott's Scary.
Sounds like it's not scary. Go ahead, sorry.
And it probably isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that one of the jokes you told in the main room?
Is that your closer?
You know what? I'm never coming back.
This is an abusive, not safe area for me. Anyway, it's a berry farm that's about 60 miles. Boysenberry? Let me tell you a story. Hold on. Let me cue down the band. No, don't tickle the ivories.
I'm not doing Brian's show. I'm not coming back here. This is an abusive area.
It's not safe to do comedy.
Hostile.
All right. Let me hit Castrol. Want a chance to win a trip to Vegas and meet me? You can head down to your local AutoZone and you'll be entered automatically with the purchase of Castrol. Pick up 5 quarts of Castrol Edge motor oil. You get the STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Use your AutoZone rewards and be automatically entered to win. 3-day and 2-night trip to Vegas to meet me in November. Right, Dawson?
No person necessary to enter to win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years old or sweepstakes. Valid September 24th through October 21st. Void where prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
All right, let's do one more, Gina Gray.
All right, well, a British mother taught her son a lesson by crashing his math class. 30-year-old Becky Cranley punished her 12-year-old son, Harley, for his misbehaving at school by paying him a little visit after receiving a phone call that he had been rude to his math teacher. Cranley said she had constantly threatened to sit in school with her son, and he always laughed it off, thinking she was kidding. So with permission from his teacher, she showed up to join the class, which was very embarrassing for him, introduced herself as his mother. And she says she does not regret embarrassing him. She just wishes she caught the whole thing on camera.
I heard about this. parts of me like it. The other part's like, oh, you got to get something to do during the day. And then confusing context for the kids, right? Because she's not that old a mom.
No.
She's a 30-year-old mom. So everyone's got to be like, who's that new super dumb kid who was held back 13 grades?
Who's she's with pretty us? Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's prime boner season, too. The 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
That's when you got the no reason wood just middle of the day.
I had that math class every 10:30. My teacher was not good looking, but she smelled something about her smell was just boner.
Toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Let's think about this for a second. So I have said, so I just got back from Kentucky, and part of the problem with traveling and time differences, and you guys just obviously got back from Kentucky as well, but I was having to like go out and meet early in the lobby and go off and shoot all day. And the problem was, is I have a sort of bowel system that works quite nicely. Get up at 8, have a cup of coffee, answer a tweet, hit the commode, take a shower, leave the house. This had thrown everything cattywampus because it was a 3-hour time difference meant with late night dinner and then getting up early, and then the coffee's down in the lobby.
Yeah.
So then you hit the Starbucks and now you're in the SUV like driving out to the location.
Middle of nowhere.
You're going to the middle of nowhere and you're like, oh, now it's go time. So the whole system got thrown off.
Yeah.
There used to be boner time. Like when you were 13.
Like hammer time?
Yeah.
Stop. Boner time.
That's right.
Can we get that cleaner, please?
You get that boner every day in like homeroom or like at 11 o'clock or like 10:30. Like that's how the boners worked when you're in the 7th or 8th grade. Like you'd literally get the boner. I'm looking at Paul Boner Bryan.
Yeah. I had a boner right there.
You can tell.
Paul Bryan. Yeah. But you know, you just get that boner at noon or well, like you had kind of a set time.
The boner came at the same time every day?
Didn't come. Don't be weird. Oh, arrived?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, use the right language. I think it's kind of safe to say that like when you're in the 8th grade or the 9th grade or whatever, and you're sitting down in that homeroom or in that third period or whatever, like, it would kind of...
Mine was clockwork. And she was a teacher that was like, you want to come to the board? Oh, it was one of those, like, come work out the math problem on the boards. It was like panic.
Yeah, you in the dolphin shorts with no underpants. Come to the board.
Yeah, I don't know why I wore those every day.
It was a look at the time. All right, Gina, did we bring it home?
We'll do it right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Hey, come on, how about a new Matt, huh?
Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
What's his name from the Family Guy? Isn't that...
What's that? Quagmire?
Isn't that Quagmire from Family Guy?
It sounds very Quagmire-esque.
A little Quagmire.
Find some Quagmire.
Giggity. Yes. Say giggity.
Hey, come on. How about a new Matt, huh?
How about some Geico? Got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money and enjoy yourself. Put away for a rainy day. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more. Let's hear what Quagmire sounds like. Let's see.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Peter.
I've just been checking out some of that internet porn.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to go and check my mail over there.
You've been listening.
Huge left arm.
Hey, come on, how about a new Matt, huh? Hey, Peter.
All right. Last but not least, Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. These guys are great sponsors. Napa Uptown Theater tomorrow night. Me doing stand-up over there, so you can show up and we'll enjoy that. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Us doing a live pod, West Palm Beach, Florida Improv. That'll be October 3rd. We'll do a live pod there, so come on out. See how the fudge is packed. Live shows everywhere. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Crank Yankers coming back. That's on Wednesdays, 10:30 on Comedy Central. And comedians of the Adam Carolla Show. Valencia's coming up.
Oh, Saturday.
That is Saturday. Fitzdog's going to be there. Jeff Cesario, Adam Ray, Bald's doing some stand-up. Dawson's going to be doing some stand-up as well. I love the renaissance of stand-up. And then there's live shows all over the place. And Laughs with Bald Brian. I'll just go to adamcarolla.com for all those live dates. And Boom Boom Mancini coming in tomorrow. Kyle Dunnigan, everybody.
Yeah.
Instagram at KyleDunnigan1. Twitter at Kyle Dunnigan as well. Don't look for him in the main room anytime soon. But he will be playing.
I'm there tomorrow night. Oh, no, Friday night. I'm in the main room.
Wow.
Get my mojo back.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Kyle Dunnigan and Gina Grad and Paul O'Brien saying mahalo.
Stop. Bonus time.
Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming up next.
Carolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole, October 19th in Glendale, featuring Everride. The World Championship of Guacamole, presented by Carolla Drinks. Sound reinforcement from JBL. Visit JBL.com. Production and backline support courtesy of Champion Sight and Sound. Visit Champion.biz. The World Championship of Guacamole, featuring Everride. On October 19th, many will enter, but only one will win. Follow at Carolla Drinks for more details. You don't look
at me. Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here with a reminder. Make sure you check out the new podcast on The Athletic, Football Fact Check on The Athletic. Great stuff over there, if I do say so myself. And it is Thursday, and so that means in a matter of moments, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be in Green Bay for a dandy game. Two green teams, two good teams, two NFC Super Bowl contenders. Check that one out. And there's Adam Carolla over there. How are you doing, Ace? Getting ready for another week of hot football action?
I got to tell you, you know, if you really think about human wiring, all I know is, you know, just about, you know, I have a week. My week's filled with work and responsibilities and, you know, the trials and tribulations that modern day people live with in today's society. But you just have that Sunday hanging out there like that carrot on a stick with the fellas and the cold beer and the should we get tacos for lunch or should we go barbecue or maybe Thai food? You just keep that out there and it keeps the week sane. It keeps the week moving along. And I do think philosophically, everyone needs a version of that for their life, all of their life. That thing that just sort of, and it's not, well, Sunday I can stay home or I can sleep in. It's not just about relaxing. Mm-hmm. It's like something you really look forward to.
Listen, I talk about that all the time. It seems like I'm taking a shot at people or people take it that way because they're vain, but I always say, what do you do if you don't like sports? Because that is what sports provide you, which is something in the short and long term to look forward to. If it's the upcoming weekend, I'm looking forward to watching these games. Long term, oh, we're going to take a road trip to go see that game be played. Oh, I love March Madness every year. That's always fun. Maybe go to Vegas and go and watch sporting events once a year with some old pals. Maybe you're looking for, it's always something, and that's what you need in life. And what I find interesting about Adam Carolla saying that is that I bet you some random people listening right now are surprised by that you, for all the sort of whimsical life that you get to lead, which is flapping your gums and cracking wise and everything else, that you still feel the same need for something to reach at the weekend to get you through that. Because that's what everybody, I imagine most people are listening in their car right now on their way to work, or they're at work right now working a mundane gig in a cubicle or swinging a hammer or otherwise, and that Adam Carolla, it feels the same way is interesting to me at least.
Well, whatever, there's two approaches. You know, everything eventually becomes a job because
right.
There's a schedule. You know, I've really realized the thing about a job is it's really about somebody saying you have to do this at this time, at this place. That'll make anything a job. if you go, you need to come here, you need to stay here for this length of time, and you need to perform this task, people get too caught up in the task. It's not really the task. It's where do you have to go? What day do you have to do it? When do you have to show up? And when do you get to leave? You know, people get, there's a difference between showing up and shoveling coal and showing up and doing football analysis or podcasting or stand up or whatever. But the part that makes it a job is not the task, it's the schedule.
And yeah, that's right, I guess. Yeah, I hadn't thought, I mean, I always make the other side of that point, which is when people who do, you know, who talk about football for a living like I do, I find it repellent when they say in late August when they're like, when they announce on social media or otherwise, they're like, huh, one more weekend of freedom, then it's back to the grind. The grind?
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
The grind. You're not picking up anything heavy. You're watching football and talking about
you
it.
You shouldn't take podcasting or stand up or writing jokes for the Oscars or whatever, you shouldn't take it as a job or a coal mine job. But if you're writing jokes for the Oscars and, you know, I come walking out of this studio and Matt Fondalier's got an email from Jimmy's guy saying, we need a bunch of jokes on Moonlight and we need them by 5 p.m. and it's 3:25, it's like, well, you're not going to just go do what you want to do for the next hour and a half. You're going to write Moonlight jokes.
That is it. As a side note for people, because people, you know, I'm not especially adept at it. I'm not you or some of the other high end guys who I've been around in my life. But that's the drill. It's like, people always told me I'm funny. Yeah, all right, that's fine. But can you apply it within exactly like you're talking about, within a confined space, a confined window? Kimmel needs jokes about Octomom, and he needs some good jokes about it in the next 10 minutes. You, Tony Barbieri, a few other people I've known can bang out 25, and legitimately 17 or 18 of them will be absolutely usable jokes. I could never do that. I might come up with one or two in 10 minutes. It's like, okay, yeah, we could run with that one, maybe.
Well, thanks for
the
compliment. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm just saying, people get way too caught up in the task of a job. You should think what makes a job is the schedule of a job. And so for me, I have a lot of schedule. The job, the task is easy. Sorry, the task is fun. But the schedule is always there.
It is not. I completely agree with what you're saying. Not and to go down the rabbit hole of specifically trying to crack wise on the page, but that is when you sprinkle in. It's. I guess it's like when you watch Jeopardy at home. Like, I would kill this. I would win Jeopardy every time. Yeah, go do it in front of people with the pressure of time and everything on you. Oh yeah, I can make funny cracks. Like, okay, do it while 10 other people are sitting there and you're doing it among them and they're doing professional grade comedy cracks and everything. Yeah, you see if you can sprinkle yours in a timely manner. It the pressure of it is difficult.
Well, and you know, look no further than our friend Rich Eisen. I mean, what time's that guy set his alarm clock for on a Sunday morning? I mean, when people sleep in on a Sunday, Rich Eisen's up at like 4:30.
Oh, I would
4:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, I would think it might even be earlier than that those guys roll in there. But yeah,
during football season, how many Saturday nights does that guy get to put on his dancing shoes and tilt a few? I mean, if he does. I mean, if he's going out, if somebody's having a good time and he's tilting a few and celebrating someone's promotion or birthday or something.
And in a way, can I tell you, people always say, like, what Mickey Mantle might have been if he had, like, I admire it. Mickey Mantle was able to make the Hall of Fame, and he would be on, like, an hour and a half of sleep, still hungover, maybe still drunk even.
Gary, remind me, I'm going to take Rich Eisen out. And I'm going to tell him. And we're going to have a couple of Michelob Ultras at 6 o'clock at a local sports bar, and I'm just going to start plying him with shots.
Sal's good at that. You'll be surprised to learn. Sal will trap you in the car and lock the door so you can't get out, and will just aimlessly drive around. You're like, I gotta go to bed because I gotta be up early. Like, I know we just got one more stop, and he just will drive. I have been in the car with him when he's doing it, and it is it's outrageous.
We'll get Rich ruined, Rich, and we'll drive. Drop him back at his house at about 2:45, and then we'll watch him. We'll all watch him the next day, all throughout the game day. All right, let me hit Geico.com. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you, Ed? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, and save it for a rainy day. Go to geico.com. Spend a couple minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at geico.com.
Real quick here, Ace, let me tell you about American Airlines, the American Airlines Arena, where the Miami Heat play their games. They're, you know, how everybody puts their name on there. They spend millions of dollars. And I'm always fascinated. How does that work? Is it really worth $10 million for naming rights? That attracts business? But anyway, I guess it does. Anyhow, the BBC wants to name the arena when the American Airlines deal runs out there. BBC, if you're not familiar, Bang Bros.
Is that a porn site?
It's a porn site, apparently, says Gary. I wouldn't know.
It's kind of weird. Like, I don't know.
Gary's very familiar. You don't Bang Bros.
It must be. They must be contractually obliged. And what I'm saying is this.
What if it works?
It'd be funny. When we're there. Look, here's. I go to race at Laguna Seca. I always just called it Laguna Seca Raceway. That's what everyone calls it. It was Mazda Laguna Seca. Mm-hmm. And then it became WeatherTech Laguna Seca. But no one ever says WeatherTech or Mazda. They just go, we're going to Laguna Seca. The same way they'd say, get off the 405 and merge onto the 101. Not at the Ronald R. Johnson Memorial Parkway. You know, no one ever does that. They just say the thing. Now, so you would say, most people would call it Miami Arena or whatever it is, but it must be. They must get their bang for their buck, pardon the pun, because you must be contractually obliged when you're an announcer
the standard, right? When it's a broadcast, you can't miss. Even I think like on SportsCenter and such, I think they have to say the full
right.
Thing.
It Gary,
yes, sir.
Jack Murphy, is that one of the last ones to go that just had a dude's name?
It's one of the last ones, absolutely. We still referred to it as the Murph every time we were going down there. But I guess this does work. I guess the only reason it doesn't work is when there was previously a name. Because if you think about the arena in downtown L.A., can you call it anything but Staples?
No.
So it sort of works in that instance, but when it had a previous name.
Yeah, that's right. That's weird. Yeah, like when you get too many in a row at the same one, I couldn't tell. Like the Clink, the Century Link where the Seahawks play, I don't even know if it's still that anymore, but it was something else. Yeah, it's
I think it works with like championship teams because I think of the Oracle Arena for the Golden State Warriors or Gillette Stadium for the Patriots.
Well, that's true. Not to throw any shade to the great memory of Jack Murphy, but he was a local sports writer, right?
Is that right? I assumed it was some multi-billionaire.
Jack
like
Murphy
Robbie.
was a local sports writer who should have, you know, you for that you get a bench named after you at a park, not a whole goddamn
get
stadium.
Get a whole multi-purpose or stadium for both your professional sports teams to play in.
Jack Murphy was a sports writer. He didn't buy the stadium or anything. That's pretty grandiose. Like, you know, Eddie
now
Hill.
Mad at him. I'm just,
Stu Nahan does not have an arena named after him out here. Stu Nahan.
Good reference. Rocky announcer.
He apparently.
And in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
He is?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when Spicoli's having the dream about winning the surfing championship, I think that's Stu Nahan who's interviewing him.
Wonder how Stu Nahan got the gig with Rocky that he's a Philadelphia play-by-play guy.
I don't know. You know how it is because Stallone lived here and he just wrote it. All right, let me tell you about Amazon. Prime Video, Thursday Night Football. Amazon Prime members, Thursday Night Football returns to Prime Video for a third season. Catch the action on your TV, mobile device, or web anywhere in the world. X-ray feature, access stats, play history, team info. It's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. Or you can hear a new take on the game. Switch over to the Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for some play-by-play. Those gals know They know their sport. They know football. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, kickoff at 8:20. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football presented by Bud Light Platinum.
All right, very nice. One more episode of Hot Sports Talk coming your way on Good Sports. Until this week, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. For tickets and info on everything, including this Saturday night's comedy in Valencia, go to adamcarolla.com. Plus, get your tickets for the Ace Man in Napa on Friday night.